Heavenly Father, we give this time to you now. I pray that you would be with us in this congregation, in this sanctuary, and pray for all the other classes that the Word of God's opened and taught. Thus saith the Lord, help us to keep out man's opinion, to see what you have to say for us, to us. I pray that you'd be with Pastor and Miss Ennis this morning. Be with them in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are in Job chapter 11 this morning. Job chapter 11. As we continue our study of the Holy Spirit, looking specifically this quarter in the Old Testament and His work, His roles, His responsibilities of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. We come now to Job chapter 11 and verse number 7. Let's look at this and this discourse that Job is having with Zophar. We come to verse number 7. And the Word of God says, "Canst thou by searching find out God?" Can we by our searching find God or find anything out about God? It's basically what he's saying. "Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" Thinking of that subject, searching, looking for God with mind, our human mind's intelligence, a human mind's logic and thinking. Can we find God? I go over to 2 Peter now, in chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1, we'll look at one verse here. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Not 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Look at the Word of God says in 2 Peter 1:21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." Man, the author, the penman of the Old Testament books of the Bible, did not come up with these stories, did not come up with these tales, did not come up with these heroes and heroines of the faith. It was from God. It says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit of God moved upon these penmen to pen the words of God. Then lastly, let's look over in the book of 1 Samuel. We come to the early days of Samuel's life. As a young lad, he's living there in the tabernacle with Eli. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 3. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Notice Samuel does not say, as Eli says, Speak, Lord. He just says, Speak. He does not yet know the Lord. But the Lord is calling out to Samuel. The Lord is speaking to Samuel in a way that Samuel could hear the words of God. Thinking of these three passages of Scripture, can we know God through our human minds and thinking and logic and reasoning? We think over in 1 and 2 Peter and we look at that verse and we see holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit of God to pen the words that God gave them. And then we see here in Samuel, we see in the young Samuel and how God is trying to get Samuel's attention and yet he does not know the Lord. And God is calling out to him and speaking to him. And you continue to read this chapter, the Lord actually speaks to Samuel and gives him prophecy of what's to come. So as we continue this study looking at the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, we come to a topic today that is one of the most volatile subjects to talk about in theological circles. Modern, unbelieving, religious people basically reject the concept that God has communicated to man in a way that they can understand. They reject it. They say there's no way a divine, heavenly God, holy God, will talk to common man in a language they can understand. To them, the Bible is not the Word of God. It contains the Word of God. And our answer to that from our pastor is, you show me which part is the Word of God and which part is not. None of us are smart enough to know that. Or they say, well, the Bible is not the Word of God, and it doesn't even contain the Word of God. They say that the Bible is just man's interpretation and recording of moral stories and folk tales. This subject of biblical inspiration that the Holy Spirit is so ingrained in has caused severe divisions among congregations, denominations, families, and religious circles. You start talking to someone that you know is a religious person and goes to church, and you start talking about inspiration, you're going to know a lot about that person's beliefs very quickly. Do they believe the Bible completely is the Word of God? I believe this book teaches us and proves to us it is the Word of God. I don't have to be proven to make it so. It is the Word of God. This is truth, the truth. The Bible is like no other book. You can go to as big a library as you want to go to and find any book in that library you want to go to and pull out from the shelf, this book is not like that book. This is a living book. It is God's Word. Religious people and groups of the world today have books they consider sacred. Yet all these books, if we put them all in a room together, all these religious sacred books other than the Word of God, they're just a book. Notice, a book. And they're written from man's philosophy, man's thinking, man's logic. They're written so that man can tell others that are reading it their views of God and who God is. That's not what the Bible tells us. We pick up the Word of God and we read the Word of God. It is God revealing Himself to us. It is not the penmen of the books of the Bible telling us who God is. It's God telling us who He is through these individuals. That's such a vast difference in beliefs. You got the sacred religious books over here that man is trying to tell us who God is and what God is like and all those other gods that they say they worship. But then we have over here the Word of God that says man cannot know God without God revealing Himself to us. That's the vast difference. The God of the Bible, Jehovah God, is eternal. He is holy. And man, on the other hand, is finite, sinful. How can a finite, sinful individual ever hope to know a holy, eternal God and explain Him to the world? We can't do that on our own. How is man to know God? How is man to reveal anything about God? How is man to know God's purpose? How is man to know God's plan for your individual life and the world itself? We can't without God's help. How is man to understand God's will for themselves without God helping us understand that? We cannot. Our mind does not work in the circles of God. He thinks way above our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So how are we to know God? We need the Lord to help us. The Bible teaches we are made in God's image. However, because of Adam's sin, our condition is fallen. We inherit that from Adam at birth. We lack the ability to know God apart from Him revealing Himself to us. Turn over with me to Isaiah and the 59th chapter. Isaiah really puts this in a nutshell for us. In Isaiah 59, look at just a few verses here. Isaiah 59, let's begin in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Over to verse 7 for sake of time. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. That is our state. That is our condition before God reveals Himself to us. And Isaiah includes himself with us here. Notice again verse number 10. We, Isaiah is saying, me included, we grope for the wall like the blind. And we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. The we shows us that even Isaiah is saying we are in a blind state before God reveals Himself to us. This shows us our fallen nature prevents us from knowing the Creator without the Creator showing us Himself. This is our predicament. How can fallen humanity know God? We cannot without God. That is the point. It is impossible for us to know God unless He reveals Himself to us. And He does that through His Spirit, the Spirit of God. Does God choose to reveal Himself to mankind? Yes, over and over and over again He reveals Himself to us. He does this primarily through the Word of God, but we also see that in creation, and we also see it and know it in our conscience. There is a God. The Word of God is written for God to reveal Himself to us, mankind. The revealed record of God is the inspired Word of God. If it was just David's words and Moses' words and Paul's words and Peter's words and John's words, it'd have no understanding who God was. But it's not their words. It's God's words. God revealing Himself to us through those individuals. The Holy Spirit gave the prophets of the Old Testament and the disciples and the prophets of the New Testament, He gave these individuals the words to pen so that we might know God. And then the Holy Spirit, when we accept Him as our person, if we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and the Holy Spirit comes inside and dwells inside of us, He gives us the ability to understand God's Word. So that we can then know God for ourselves. Therefore, the Holy Spirit has revealed and does reveal continually who God is and His plan for mankind. The Holy Spirit accomplished this great work in three processes. And these three processes we call revelation, inspiration, and illumination. Without these three processes, we could not know God and grow to serve God. So praise the Lord for the work of the Holy Spirit. And these processes of the Spirit of God are not just New Testament processes. They are Old Testament processes as well. We think of illumination as a New Testament process. We think of inspiration mainly as a New Testament process, but David, Moses, they were inspired by God just as all the other men that wrote the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit had a role of imparting God's Word through revelation. In our fallen state as man, we are enveloped in darkness, just as Isaiah 59 teaches us, until God reaches down and gives us hope, tells us who He is, what He's done for us, and what His plan is for us. Revelation is basically, when we speak of divine revelation, we are referring to anything that could never be known unless God revealed it. That's divine revelation. Throughout the Scriptures, God has used several ways to communicate truth to man through the periods of the Old Testament and the periods of the New Testament. Moses, for example, went up to Mount Sinai after they have left Egypt, wandered in the wilderness to get to Mount Sinai, and they're camped at Mount Sinai, and God calls Moses up to come to the mount, top of the mount. He goes up and he spends 40 days and 40 nights with God in the mount. And God speaks to Moses. He gives him the Ten Commandments and the law. And not just the Ten Commandments of the law, but also not just the moral law, but the civil law and the social law and how they're to govern themselves. But he also gives him the pattern of the tabernacle while he's there and all the meaning and instructions of the tabernacle. God speaks to Moses, revealing truth. David, you look at King David, he was led and instructed and directed by the Spirit of God how to live and serve God all the days of his life. Ezekiel, if you go back and look in Ezekiel, he was called up by the Spirit and taken and saw Jerusalem while he was a captive in Babylon. God revealing truth to Ezekiel. John, in the book of Revelation, he sees and talks to the resurrected Christ. And Christ tells him to write these letters to the seven churches. Paul was confronted by Jesus on the road to Damascus and was commissioned to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. All different means, all different manners on how God is revealing truth to mankind. There are a few examples. These are just a few examples that we can see God's method of revealing revelation or truth to man. In other instances, it may be that the Lord spoke directly to the mind and the heart of the prophet, and not necessarily to the ear. Go back and read the minor prophets and see how God spoke to them and how God used them. But to get the message of God and revelation of truth to them, He did it in a certain manner, in a certain method. Sometimes speaking to the mind, sometimes speaking to the heart. Over and over again in the Old Testament, it is recorded, "Thus saith the Lord." Thus saith the Lord. Those men that preached, "Thus saith the Lord," they had been given the revelation of truth by God so that they could share it with man. And that was usually done by the Spirit of God. As we have seen in previous weeks, the Holy Spirit also empowered and He enabled individuals with abilities and courage and wisdom and etc. to continue God's plan to go forward. These are also revealing truth to mankind through the Spirit of God. On occasion, God also used dreams. Go back and look at Joseph's life. You see how God used dreams in Joseph's life and other individuals. God used dreams to reveal truth to man. This revealing of truth through dreams, though, ended. It does not continue today. I can have some pretty amazing dreams. Pretty fantastic dreams that you're like, that's just not reality. Especially if you eat something that spicy or something that sticks with you all night long, you might have really unusual dreams. And there's individuals today that says, I've got a message from God. And He came to me in a dream. God doesn't work that way anymore. You know why? Because we have everything He wants us to know right here in this book. It's all been revealed. All we must do now is study it, read it, meditate upon it, memorize it. God also used, through the Spirit of God, visions to speak to individuals' truth. Go back and look at Daniel chapter 7 and chapter 8, chapter 10, where God gave Daniel visions, especially about the 70-week prophecy. And these individuals that received these visions of God weren't necessarily asleep, like when a dream would give them the revealed truth. So God has all manner of means of revealing divine truth to mankind, revealing Himself to mankind and His purpose and plan. The prophets of the Old Testament stood in special relationship with God, including Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, and also go through the minor prophets, but also Elijah and Elisha. How about Nathan goes up to tell David, you are the man. All had received that truth from God to give to others. They were the ones who received direct messages from the Lord and in turn were responsible to give it to mankind. There were certain essential elements of a prophet's ministry. They spoke a divine message by the Spirit of God, and not always understanding the message. God says to them, reveal this truth to man. But Lord, I don't understand it. It's not for you to understand. It's for you to give the message out. That wasn't always the case, but sometimes they had no clue what they were saying, understanding what it meant. They also, as prophets, spoke something that would otherwise be unknown. Again, divine revelation is something that cannot be known unless God reveals it. Think of Jonah going to the city of Nineveh finally when he arrives. He's saying the city is going to be destroyed unless they repent. Now, if that wasn't a divine message from God, he would seem like a crazy man and they'd probably kill him. But it was a divine message, and it was to be presented to mankind so they could understand something that was unknown. They had to repent, and they accepted it and repented as a city. He also, as a prophet, was to speak directly to people. Not to a building, not to a wheat field. He was to speak directly to individuals to take God's revealed divine truth to them. He was to declare that which was true, and the great test of a prophet's message was that it came to pass. Might not be in their lifetime, but if it came to pass, it was divine revelation. It was truth. Therefore, understanding and knowing God is something beyond our human nature, meaning it is supernatural. Since we are fallen, the Holy Spirit plays two roles in revealing this truth. The first role is the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of the Lord to fallen humanity through the prophets to transmit God's Word to us. And the Spirit of God is used over and over again in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. He is used to reveal this truth to man, to the spokesman, to the prophet, to the writer, so that that word of divine truth can reach our hearts and lives. And secondly, the role of the Holy Spirit was that after the Word was revealed and pinned down in the Word of God, these words now can be applied to our hearts and give us understanding as human beings who God is only through the power of the Holy Spirit, through illumination. So we have the Holy Spirit involved in revealing the divine truth of God to mankind. We have the Holy Spirit of God inspiring the penmen of the Word of God to pen the words of God. And we have the Holy Spirit of God illuminating the Scriptures, making it so that we can understand divine revelation. The Holy Spirit is involved in all three of these processes deeply. Look with me over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you a couple verses that apply this to our hearts and lives as we are thinking of this subject of the Holy Spirit's role in revealing this divine truth. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2:10, and the Word of God says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. But the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but how? But the Spirit of God." We cannot know the things of God without the Spirit of God. We ignore the Holy Spirit so much in our Christian circles today. You know, the charismatics and the Pentecostals have really taken claim of the Holy Spirit, where He's our God too. And we are to worship Him, we are to pray, and we are to accept divine truth from Him. Inspiration, illumination, revelation. Look over in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. What a great verse this is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 3. "Wherefore I give you to understand." Don't you want to understand? I'd like understanding. Here's God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, going to help us understand. "Wherefore I give to you understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say," notice this last of this verse, "and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." It is not us that we come to God and say, "I want to trust you as my Savior," without the Holy Spirit first working in our hearts and saying, "You're a sinner. You're a sinner." When we go out soul winning, you talk to people about the Lord, and you've got to, today's generation especially, you've got to get them lost, a sinner on the way to hell, before they'll ever realize they're in a need of a Savior. Because they think they're okay. "Well, I'm better than so-and-so." Well, that's not how God works. We're all sinners. And the Holy Spirit comes and He convicts us of our sin and shows us we are on the way to hell without any hope. And He draws us to the only one that has hope, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And so the Holy Spirit is involved in all this, and without the Holy Spirit of God, we cannot proclaim Jesus as Lord. So let's summarize what we just talked about. The Holy Spirit's role in revelation. The Scriptures tell us that God has revealed Himself to man primarily in three ways. Firstly, is through His creation and all that He has created. Since we cannot see God with our visible eyes, we learn about Him, we must see Him indirectly. And sometimes that's through what He has made. For example, if I'm a being that God created, and I am, I can learn something about God by looking at myself. Similarly, I can learn about God from nature. I see the universe, I see the stars, I see the planets, I see trees and flowers and birds and all the different parts of the creation that God has made. I can learn about God through those things because He is orderly and not chaotic. He teaches us, the creation teaches us about God's character. He is a God of order. But also teaches us that He is one that loves beauty and variety. Praise the Lord, we're not all looking the same. We're all unique individuals. And God sometimes has a sense of humor. And as He creates us, how we look. But He has beauty and variety. This much nature reveals to us. But there's some things nature cannot reveal. We can look at the world, and if we know a little bit about the world, it can show us about the corruptness of the world and the fallenness of the world and sin in the world. But it cannot tell us, creation cannot tell us how to be saved. God also reveals Himself through the Spirit of God into our conscience. We know there is a God. We know there is someone higher than us. Now the atheists will deny that, but if they were true to themselves, they would know. And deep in their hearts, there's one above them. And thirdly, the way God has revealed Himself to us is through divine revelation. This includes direct verbal communication, such as Adam and Eve enjoyed with God in the cool of the desert as God would come down and walk in the Garden of Eden with them and communicate with them. But also through words that God, through the Spirit of God, gave to the prophets. In the Old Testament, think of the works and the miracles of Elisha and Elijah and Nathan and all the minor and major prophets and how God used them, and they would proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." And then the time that God took on the form of man through Jesus Christ and came and lived on this earth as the God-man and taught us the words of God, revealing truth to mankind personally. And finally, then, we have the Bible, the complete Bible. There are no other books to add to this. It is complete. The Bible tells us more about God than creation ever can. Who He is, what He has done, and how He interacts with us. While we may know of God's existence through creation, we can only be saved by what we learn from the inspired Word of God. The divine revelation of God is the refreshing and renewing and eternal water we need in this dry, thirsty land. We need to take this revelation of truth that God has given us and not hold it in, but share it with others. This world needs this hope. This world needs this knowledge of who God is. And they're not going to find it on their own. Only through God revealing Himself to them will they know who God is and what there's to do with God. You go now today and talk to people, and there's unfortunately people that don't know who Jesus is. In our country today, that is so sad that we have such freedoms in our land today that there are people that live in our country that don't even know who Jesus Christ is. Divine revelation has been revealed to mankind as the truth of God. We have it bound in a book, the book. What are we doing with that revelation? Are we sharing it with others? Heavenly Father, I pray that You take this lesson and use it for Your honor and for Your glory. Help us, Lord, to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's paramount to understand His working in our lives. We thank You, Lord, for God the Father. We thank You, Lord, for the great plan You had for humanity. We thank You for Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. But Lord, we often forget the Holy Spirit. Thank You for that illumination You give us. Thank You for that conviction of sin that You give us. Thank You for that protection and prayer for us when we cannot even pray. Help us, Lord, to see God as a triune God We serve one God, but all three personheads of God are important. Help us, Lord, to serve You faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.